member of the Talk and Audio Network. Find more at talkandaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Tall Can Sports.
Nobody gives a sweet shit about Albert Bell.
I don't believe that to be true.
All right. I don't give a sweet shit about Albert Bell.
That fan that he tried to fight a couple times. I'm sure they both.
Same fan.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going to fucking get this guy.
Yeah. Indian season ticket holder. Fuck you, Albert Bell. If I said it once.
Let's not pretend the Indians have season ticket holders.
I've said it 100 times. Fuck you, Andy Garcia.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. I'm here for you, man.
About the Toronto Maple Leafs. What is more likely? The entire division. Okay, so let's assume as a premise, the entire.
I like where this is going.
Division is healthy next year.
Yes.
All the Sens, the whole division is healthy. What is more likely? The Leafs win the division. Or the Leafs miss the playoffs?
Leafs miss the playoffs.
And no time to think about that. That's
well, okay. And really, to me, I think there's a great chance the Leafs are improved next year.
Yep.
And don't make
think
the playoffs.
They're getting ahead of a healthy Tampa.
You said win the division, though.
But to me, don't you think that is the team most likely to win the division next year? A healthy Tampa? If you had to place a bet right now, we don't know what the offseason's going to bring, but...
Yeah. No, I think Tampa is the hands-on favorite moving forward to win the division.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the question was the Leafs.
No, I know.
What are they most likely to do?
Yeah.
Win the division.
Or miss the playoffs. Yeah. But to me, Tampa...
Yeah.
...is the only one to me that says... Like, Florida could win the division. Montreal could win the division again, right? Tampa is the only one that I look at as, like, a prohibitive favorite kind of thing. So that's the only reason I've brought them up is...
Right. No, I understand where you are because to me... No, I'm not sure. In hindsight, not loving where Florida went in that.
No.
I think... Yeah, they're sort of...
You fired a pretty good coach.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
Right? And who wasn't out of work for long.
Nope. Jager, another year older, who eventually that's got to matter.
Dude's going to be 45 or 46 next year.
I know. It's
nuts. Like, wow. So I get it. I think Buffalo will be improved.
Yeah. Not right? To this point. Not to the point that they're a threat to win the division.
No. I just think, to me, I don't think Toronto's in the... Okay. In the running to win the division.
Okay, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because
But I'm interested in your take on that. What are your feelings?
I didn't see this coming back at me.
The light is bright.
Yeah, I would probably say the same.
Okay.
But only because I don't think, I get this wasn't the question. I don't think Toronto's falling out of the playoffs. But the question was,
who is falling?
Montreal. Is the most likely to me of the teams who made it to fall out. I don't like what they're doing there.
You liking the Bruins?
More than Montreal, I think. I like Bergeron. I like Pasternak is another year older. Marchand seems to be now at minimum a 35 goal kind of guy.
Yeah. He's for real in case anybody was hoping that.
Yeah. McAvoy is likely going to be a regular there now.
Big enough sample size for you, eh?
Well,
six games?
I don't know that he's going to be a regular. Top pair, I just assume he's playing the full season.
Because to me, Char is another year older, and I think...
Krug steps up a little more.
Yeah, and Brandon Carlo. They are looking okay there. I get it.
In terms of who is falling out, I think it's probably most likely Montreal. So just before we move on then, what is more likely to you? Toronto wins the division or Toronto winds up in the Eastern Conference Final?
What's more likely?
Yeah.
I'm going to bite my own cock off or I'm going to lick my ass before we leave here. Both are not likely to happen.
I was going to say, but one is more likely than the other.
Sure. I think a little yoga could probably bite my own cock off. But
a little yoga might get you to both.
Exactly. My spine may have to be more supple and my cock may have to be longer. Which one of those is more likely to happen? Go with the spine.
I'm uncomfortable with this. Got some feedback as we move off the Leafs here. Oh, you know what? We'll stay on Leafs here. Little Kyle Dubas. I wanted to talk about, but got some cool feedback here on Twitter the other day. That said,
did you say cool or cruel?
I said cool, but I kind of stumbled over my own fat tongue, so it was supposed to be cool. Steve sent us a tweet, said, impressed with how fast you guys are banging these out lately. We've had, we record this on May 31st. We'll be up around 13, 14 shows for the month. That's pretty, almost four a week. That's a significant uptick for us. So,
well, that really speaks to the caliber of the volunteers you have here on the Tall
Can Sports. It's been all of them. I think it's been just you and I this month. But to me, I said to him also on Twitter, thanked him for noticing, but this is a sweet time of year, right? Content for sports is easy to find right now.
It's true. Basketball.
Yeah. Hockey's going.
Where's the cricket sound? Do you have crickets?
I think I took crickets off.
Man.
Yeah.
Basketball.
What's this one do?
Oh, no!
Yeah, well, close enough.
Like, to me, what do you have, 82 days off in between the conference finals?
Still a day or two away from starting up.
Yeah, so. And you're like, God damn it.
Rumors flying around after Elliot Friedman reported, I think during Game 7 of the Pittsburgh-Ottawa series, that the Avalanche had asked for and received permission to talk to Kyle Dubas.
First of all, super misleading. When you send me an email saying, hey, I got some topics I want to go over, and yours, it was Dubas leaving the Maple Leafs.
Yep.
And I'm like, has he left the Maple Leafs?
Oh, I see.
What's happened here? And so I'm like, I've missed that totally. And so I'm looking around.
In Toronto is assistant GM potentially leaving big, but he was kind of. So anyway, Friedman reports that they've been asked for, the Avs have asked for and received permission. It comes out a couple days later that apparently that window has closed. And it gets a little tough to follow the story because any organization led by Lou Lamoriello, you don't get much, right? You don't hear much. And there's some talk that maybe he's re-signed a new contract. There's
an extension, right?
Right.
Is he not still have?
I believe it was up at the end of this coming year. There's some talk that he has signed it. What was supposed to happen, the succession plan, was Lamoriello runs out at the end of next season and Dubas takes over.
But Mark Hunter's throwing a bit of a...
Yeah, it seems like this old boys club has kind of maybe gotten in the way a little bit, that Babcock, Lamoriello, and Hunter are maybe more of like mind.
Because I'm seeing a bunch of stuff that's talking about disagreement, lack of harmony in the Leaf front office, and do you think that's Dubas, as you've just alluded
to? Yeah, that maybe he's the odd man out right now, and that, like, because the other thing would become, why would you, if you're Kyle Dubas, be even mildly interested in leaving for Colorado, which is a disaster right now, if you believe the reins are about to be handed to you in the biggest market in the league, who appears to be on the upswing?
Well, see, and how much, as a Leaf guy, like you are,
I am,
how much belief do you have in this excellent pipeline of young potential that Sheldon Keefe, and Kyle Dubas under the Shanahan administration have sort of set up this little this plan for prospects and a bunch of the guys that they can run off? How much of that do you think is happening versus how good it looks now due to some good drafting due to poor finishes?
Yep.
Which is it?
I think the Leafs are loaded on the wing and they have nothing in the middle and nothing on defense. Travis Dermott will be maybe a third pair guy. They signed two guys out of Sweden who,
with
again,
Morgan
will
Riley.
Be depth guys. And they have one goalie. So
they have him until 2027.
Well, not quite, but four more years of him. I think that's okay. I think there's young pieces coming, but I don't think there's any game-breaking centers coming. I don't like that, right? I don't think there's any. And they're doing a good job of kind of stalking some of these young Europeans and keeping them in their European leagues. They just don't have room on the Marlies anymore, right?
So, but you're still not answering my question.
So what do I think is...
Do you think that Dubas is responsible for that? Or do you think Dubas has sort of lucked into a good situation and timing?
Yeah, I... 2 years ago, the Leafs had a draft where they went... Everyone was amazed at how small the team went and how much talent they drafted. That was clearly Kyle Dubas.
Is it the Marner year?
That was the Marner year.
Man, I remember seeing him coming up to and taking off his jacket and going, and of course, it's in vogue to wear a tight shirt, yeah. Dress shirt, and you're like, holy man, that kid looks like he's 11.
Right. And every pick that they went after that was lots of guys under 6 feet. They had lots of picks. They were all like, and then last year, if you want to read into this, it's become Hunter and Lamoriello as opposed to Dubas. Very big, a lot less skill, you know, kind of that mid-2000s type drafting of big guys that you hope you can develop into something. And so I think Kyle Dubas maybe, yeah, for sure it is.
Good for everybody else inside of Toronto.
So there's a lot of talk that maybe Dubas has lost the ear a little bit, and so maybe he has been marginalized, and so he has kind of lucked into some of this, right? At least lately. Obviously, there's no other way around it. The Austin Matthews thing is luck, right? That was a lottery. That was a
right. But it sounds to me like you haven't gone totally away from giving Dubas credit. If you're saying
right.
The Marner, Nylander, that sort
yep.
of drafting
yep.
comes under Dubas's watch.
That's right. Jeremy Bracco gets. You know, brought in that small draft. That's where our guys are coming from. We don't have a lot of top end guys who came out of the 2016 draft.
Okay, well, it's still early, right?
For sure.
But so
in terms of projection,
but that's interesting, right? And you've sort of answered my question. Where does Shanahan fit into this?
Well, so in reading a couple things from Myrtle there in the Athletic, who's a usually pretty reliable guy,
As a non-subscriber, I can only read half that article.
Right. So. Ultimately, his opinion's the only one that matters. If he decides at the end of next year, yeah, you know what, Lou, you're done. Thank you.
How old's Lou?
76.
Yeah. See, I thought he was closer to 80.
And he might be.
No, but no, I'm not. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just in my head. I thought he was.
It was
78, 80-ish.
Worth remembering when he left New Jersey, he left them a mess. Like they had the Kovalchuk thing that was still a disaster. They were in salary cap hell.
Yeah.
And the league kind of let them out. A little bit by erasing some of that.
Because they're in Newark.
Right.
That's already hell.
The murder capital.
Let's
Northeast.
Give them a little relief yeah. somewhere.
Yeah. I hope that Shanny is the one who stepped in here maybe and said, you're not leaving. Here's an extension. Here's a lot more money. Stick around. The plan is still the plan. You will get the reins. But there's just no way to know, right?
And I'm interested when you look at it. There's a couple of things here that
he is the boss,
Shanahan.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about with the two assistant GMs.
Yeah.
Dubas and Hunter.
Right.
If under the Lamoriello system, right?
Yeah.
Hunter seems to be the more sort of
old school.
Yeah, and look to and that's where the alliance is. I'm also wondering when you look at
part of its age.
Yeah, well, and you look at
there's a Mark Hunter between Lamoriello and Kyle Dubas who's going to turn 31 in the fall.
Yeah, okay. And so I look at under Sakic with Billington and
Sherman or something.
How does that work out? What is Sakic going to step aside? Cuz you know Dubas isn't going out to Colorado for a lateral move.
No. And I don't think the Leafs have to let him. For a lateral move.
No, no, and that's what I'm saying. So what's happening with Sakic again? I can't get a solid read on that anymore either.
And Friedman had some interesting thoughts on that in his 30 Thoughts column this week that said either they're not communicating in Colorado.
I was reading a column that said Dirty Thoughts.
Nice.
Two totally different articles, apparently.
It's really just a pictorial more than an article.
It's true. There wasn't a pile of words.
I just read it for the articles. No, it's... That either they weren't communicating or not everybody knew. Like maybe the president and owner contacted the Leafs and asked, and Sakic kind of got
wind of it.
Hey, what do you need him for, right? Because as you say, he's going out there. That would be the only reason to leave.
For sure.
You believe that either they're going to give this title to Mark Hunter or they're going to give Lou another 2 years and you're going to have to keep waiting, you would go for the prestige kind of thing of running the show.
Well, because the other thing, because originally they were saying Buffalo was maybe interested in originally as well.
Yeah.
Till they decided to go the route of...
that guy out of Pittsburgh.
Yes. Whatever his name is.
Escapes me.
Yep.
But if it's... Pialin's gonna kill me. I don't think he's going anywhere for if the plan... if he felt like the plan was still what it was. And it seems like this has all kind of gone away and no one's talking anymore in the window to talk to them... yeah, maybe.
I want to say Nick Boynton, but it's not. It's, it starts with a B. It's anyways. You've moved along, and I've totally.
You'll have a little aneurysm over there trying. Yeah, to come right. Up with
no,
it.
I won't now because I've clearly now shared it with you, and now I can just get rid of it. Okay.
I'll come back, maybe edit it in.
Ding.
Right. I won't. That's too much work. I don't know. It just seems interesting to me that A, this much about the Leafs got out. And then it went away, right? Like, it's always been a very, well, since this regime has been here, very tight-lipped. Nothing that you hear ends up happening. I don't know. It's well, interesting to me, right?
And clearly Elliot has taken a different tact in his speaking about it.
Yeah.
Whether it was on the morning show in Calgary with Boomer and whatever else that is. Right. He was speaking on their show and he had took a totally different approach. Right. He was much less sure about a bunch of things, spoke in a lot of more vague terms.
Well, because I have a feeling like, and he's a pretty well connected guy, but that this leak probably came out of Colorado, and then the Colorado management team would have been up in arms wondering what's happening. And the Leafs, who don't let things get out, would have gotten up, and there would have been a lot of people slamming doors in his face in a real hurry. So it's interesting to me. And I think
you got to think, and I don't know anything about insiders. Like, you're talking about Pierre LeBrun, Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger, Elliot Friedman, right? What the life of those guys is like when your life bred, it's like being a spy, right? A
little bit.
You got to keep reliable lines open and go, yeah, I'm not going to fuck you.
When you have to give a little back usually, right? Hey, I'll tell you this, but what are you hearing over on this side? That's my understanding of it a bit, right? This is giving as much information as you're, you know.
And so to me,
he and Bob are really the only ones I listen to.
You got to look at it and go, yeah, well, I think Pierre LeBrun's a pretender.
Yeah. But Dregs too. Dreger was great when his cousin was running the Leafs, and now that he's not, he doesn't seem to have any sources there anymore.
Okay. But to me, it's interesting to see what happens in terms of backing away or backing off totally or just saying, oops.
Yeah.
But you got to think when he speaks as confidently as he did.
Yep. Man. Well, I think there's something there, right? Somewhere there was some smoke and either it's been put out or it never, I don't know, but...
Anyways, interesting to watch.
Do you want to go to Gary next or do you want to go to the Caps next?
Oh.
Let's go to the Caps because I think Gary's thing opens a lot of doors on a lot of fronts.
Okay.
You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about what the Caps do next. Would they consider trading Ovechkin? All these sorts of things. McClellan, their general manager, comes out this week, has his press conference, and essentially says... no huge rebuild planned.
Sticking with Trotz.
Now, he has a contract for one more year. They're also not going to talk to him about an extension, which I think is probably fair with how things have gone out there. Sing for your supper kind of thing. The interesting piece to me was Ovechkin, where he said, we won't be shopping Ovechkin. Or we're not looking at trading him or stripping him of the captaincy. But if a hockey trade were to come along... you know, we'll see what happens there. And you go, okay, so he is fucking available, right? Like, you absolutely did not close the door on trading Alex Ovechkin.
And they did everything but say, in a league that traded, where Gretzky got traded, then you're just Ovechkin. And you know what? You're down from 50 goals to 33 goals.
Making 9.5
for four more years. Yeah. And now, to me, the most interesting thing out of that and all that, and I've read it in a couple different places and heard a radio interview where people are talking about what Ovechkin really needs to do as a guy who's pushing 240
Yeah.
Right. And no one's saying he's not in shape or he's not.
No.
What they're saying is he needs to sort of reshape the shape of body he has. Right. To me, we all want powerful athletes, but to me, they're kind of looking for him to become quicker.
A little leaner, a little quicker.
Yeah. Leaner and quicker. Not quite as strong. If you have to err on one side,
yeah,
be quicker. Right. And to me, I always think of him as, now he doesn't play a 200-foot game.
No.
But I certainly do think of him as somebody who jumps into the spaces in that 100 feet that he does play.
Yeah.
Right? That he's very opportunistic. You know, I can see him, you know, hopping into holes, and he's just very good. To me, he is speedy, but I think they're looking for him to sort of remodel his body and
for
reshape
sure.
his game.
Yeah.
To be more of that forechecking.
Now, what I took from the way this was all worded and the way all this went was Marc Bergevin last June saying, we're not trading PK Subban. And within a month, he was gone.
Okay. Well, and really, I think
they want to do this. I'm not sure they can. With that salary, with what's left, what you have to get in return. To me, Corey Perry is an interesting name. We've kicked around before in terms of what do you do, what do you need in return. If it's got to be a straight hockey deal like Subban Weber was.
Better be Getzlaff.
Okay. I think Perry with Backstrom could get some chances.
Man, but if you had Backstrom and Getzlaff.
Yeah, okay. How's that happening?
Okay, but
now you have to trade Backstrom and Ovi to get Getzlaff and Perry.
No.
Just changes. Yeah, but that's the only way of doing it.
Okay, really? So you totally, you value Getzlaff straight up so much more than Ovechkin.
I'm saying I value Getzlaff more than Perry.
I know you do.
So that's why
I said, when you said you're talking about flipping wingers.
So
right?
You wouldn't consider Ovechkin for Perry. Because if I'm Anaheim, I got no interest in that. I'm not trading a number one center for a declining winger. Now, Perry is also a declining winger, but that's maybe why.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're talking about shipping Ovechkin to Anaheim for Perry. Am I right with that?
That's right. So I don't know where, it sounds like you want to do Ovechkin for Getzlaff.
That's what I'm saying. Because if I'm Washington, Perry better be coming back with Raquel or something else. Like, there better be something else coming with me. And it better not be Patrick Eves.
I think you're looking at money for money, similar type players.
That's the end of the window then in Washington with all the free agents they have. And if you're flipping for a guy with much harder miles on him than Perry, I think Perry's game is already further diminished. And I like Corey Perry,
yeah,
good Peterborough guy.
I think he's
there.
Had a down year. I don't think we know yet.
He's had a down couple years, I think.
I don't think we know yet that he's that much further down the decline than Ovechkin.
Well, he was never Ovechkin to begin with.
Well, no, but he was a little more physical. He was
a lot
not
more
that Ovechkin
physical.
Wasn't,
I get it.
He brings some other things.
No.
And I'm not saying that this is a deal that
and
absolutely
gets done. And I like Corey
Perry
a lot.
Yeah, I just think it's going to have to be that type. And we've kicked around before. Who do you send back? What do you get done? If this has to be money for money.
Okay, and I'm saying let's talk my idea. If you're Washington, what are you doing to get Getzlaff coming back? If you're going to send Ovechkin, if you don't think that's a Weber for Subban.
Kuznetsov has to go too because you need a center. You can't trade your number one center and get just a winger.
Kuznetsov is a cap.
Yeah, he's got to go with Ovechkin if you're getting Getzlaff back.
Getzlaff's a center, though.
Yes. Anaheim needs a center in return because they're trading their number one center. So you have to send Kuznetsov
okay,
with...
Okay, sorry. I kept looking at the Washington end of it going, what the fuck are you talking about, man? You're like...
Stick with me here, buddy.
Well, no, I was hoping you would stick with me.
Well, you're wanting Getzlaff.
You were just looking at the... Yeah, and I'm just looking at... We're both talking about...
Pie in the sky.
Right. And in terms of what you're doing, right? And so...
If you want Getzlaff from Anaheim, you're sending Ovechkin and probably Kuznetsov.
Okay.
That's getting a little stiff.
All right. So what's coming back then?
Getzlaff and probably just Getzlaff for me.
That's
maybe a pick. Maybe a... But you're getting the number one center.
What about one of their defensemen? Can I talk you into a?
Is this before or after the expansion draft? Right, like there's a lot of things.
Of course it's after. Of course it's after. Everybody's going to be mum on stuff until.
I don't know. I think Anaheim wants to move a defenseman before, so that they can protect everything they want to protect. Right, like.
All right. Well, then you do the wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right.
We'll take your and we'll sign you afterwards or whatever it is, because you're looking at a Capitals defense corps that's going to lose Alsner. Obviously, Shattenkirk's not going to re-sign. I'd be surprised. Anyways.
Yeah, they talked – McClellan talked like Nate Schmidt was in the top four now.
Right.
Taking – Alsner's spot with Orlov, Carlson.
And so that's a total team in flux with Oshie is also going to – he's a UFA.
That's going to cost them if they want that.
Well, and they're looking at – if you look at direct comparables, they're talking about Kyle Okposo in Buffalo, and they're talking about Backes. Yeah, Backes in Boston in terms of the money. Overpaid is what you're – read here, overpaid.
Right.
So to me, anyways –
again, it's going to be long, and that's the type of player that breaks down because he plays the game so hard.
So, man,
he might be smart to let that guy walk. He's a heart and soul guy. If you can't talk him into staying for needs more than 3 years.
Oh, and he needs more than 3 years.
He'll ask for more than if that's what you might have to let him go.
So you're looking at that now you're removing Alsner, Shattenkirk, Williams, Oshie, right? You're looking at going tick, 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 tick. Man, it's honestly
that point, you're probably keeping Ovechkin.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
But he better be lean. Anyways, to me, it's
interesting, man.
They are in a spot where
they may be the most interesting team to watch all summer.
Well, and not just, and then the following year, to me, just the way that team is built.
Yep.
Barry Trotz will be unemployed for no days, right? That guy will have a job.
No, it's true.
Right away. So, man, if I'm Barry, I'm feeling fairly secure, right? You take another crack at it with this.
Yep.
And after that, you go, fuck it. I can't. Those guys are losers.
Well, that's it, right? Because it's only Washington. A lot of people agreed, but Washington themselves declared this a 2-year window, and that window is closed. So, you know, what happens now, right? Like, San Jose's window was open for how long? And then everyone said, and kind of gave up, and they got to the final last year. Now, they didn't win it, but that's so no one would be shocked.
I think UFAs, Marlowe and Thornton this year.
Yeah. Man. Thornton would be a good leaf for 1 year. They all would, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's run through the record of guys coming home. Owen Nolan. That's what that is right
worked
there.
Worked out really good with his spina bifida or whatever slowed him down at the end of the day.
Scoliosis.
Right. And I've lost my train of thought. But nope,
it was
gone.
It was salivating over Joe Thornton coming to
him and his 40-year-old ACL, MCL blown apart.
And he's only 32.
Let's sign him up. But he's only 30. No.
No, but he's got to be in his late 30s.
Yeah.
But just the Caps and what's
going to happen.
Oh, that's
all it was. Yeah. Was that if they make some changes or whatever, it wouldn't shock anyone to see them get to the conference finals next year or you know, they're still going to have a good core.
No,
but I think this was their best chance, right?
I think you and I talked about this on a couple of different points through the season. Right? That this is the year for them. When you looked at the way their decor was shaping up, Holtby was looking really good. Man, they had a dynamic set of forwards.
No, it's true.
And you go, well, this is yours. You got to put it together. Now we've got the pieces.
Well, and even McClellan said in the press conference, said, we've built for 3 years to get to that game 7 against Pittsburgh, and we lost it. They dominated Pittsburgh in that series.
And at home. You got a game 7 at home, and you get shut out by your arch nemesis.
You could make a case that 4 out of 7 games, Washington absolutely dominated Pittsburgh. Maybe 5.
Yeah. How many games do you think Toronto should have won in that first round?
I don't know. You trying to upset me?
all I'm saying is what looks like it should have happened didn't happen doesn't mean
shit. I think
that's
different than... That Toronto team wasn't nearly in the league of either of those two.
No, but we're talking about how games went.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So to me, you look at it and go, whoof, that team, and we talk about Corsi and all those things all the whole time. You look at it and go, what is it? But they look great on paper. And you go, yeah, but what did the scoreboard say? Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, look at that.
This parachute is a backpack.
This is it. thought it was.
Yeah. Let's get to Gary's press conference. Yeah, he's exasperating.
For sure he is.
He's just a condescending.
Well, okay, and that's it. You've touched on it right there. Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot.
Right.
And the shit you say and just expect everyone to digest and swallow whole is garbage.
Yeah, it is. And when you start looking at some of these things, like let's start with the All-Star Game Olympic thing, because here's where, to me, he looks the most ridiculous.
Flip-flop.
He's got, he announces the All-Star Game next year will be played in Tampa, which
is the week after the Olympics start, whatever it is.
It's right around then, yeah. And so in an Olympic year, the NHL doesn't have an All-Star Game, right? They always they take a break for the Olympics, so they don't take another one for the All-Star break. So now they've announced this, that all but slams the door shut on the Olympics,
you
I would
good
think.
People of Tampa are now lining up and buying season's tickets and doing whatever you can to get in line for your All-Star
bit. You're just dog shit All-Star team. But
okay, for sure it is. I'm just saying. So and everyone says there's 29 teams that don't give a shit about the All-Star game except for the city that it's in.
Now there's 30.
Okay. 30.
Vegas. Maybe Vegas will care. This will be their first.
All-Star. Right. And then you go, nobody cares except for the city it's in.
Yep.
Right? And so all those people in Tampa, you got to know.
I still think it's probably reasonably popular amongst kids, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
12 and under.
Probably.
Kind of thing.
And it's been a long time since I was a kid.
Yeah. It's true, man. Long time.
but you're looking at it and you're going, okay, you are not now going back to the people of Tampa and saying,
that's right.
Hey, guess what? Sorry, you'll get it in 2019. How about that?
So Gary says, we are not anti-Olympics. We are anti-interrupting the league. And you go, you are, and don't worry, I've done the math here. I've looked it up. Gary Bettman is responsible for disrupting the league and canceling 3,906 NHL games. You have literally never avoided a work stoppage when it presented itself. You condescending douchebag.
Okay, and not only that, the Olympics came into being on your watch.
Yes.
You from Nagano on, you have stopped the league for that. Forget about stoppages.
Four times.
Well, this is it. So
five times.
And then you're going, well,
no.
In Korea, we're not interested in that time change the time zone is so far away.
But you're going to play exhibition games. It's 1 hour fucking time difference.
Okay, how about it's the same time zone as Nagano?
Yeah.
You've already done that.
Yeah. No, and he just expects that everyone will forget, just take him at his stupid little word with his pointy little nose, that someone needs to punch back into his skull a little bit.
And then he says, yes, I was just in China and I'm speaking with the Minister of Sport and we're talking about exhibition games that we're doing there, but we never once talked to them about... Yeah.
Bullshit.
About the Olympics, about having Beijing have NHL players there. Yeah. We never talked about that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. There's no one buying that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you're talking to us all like we're idiots.
Yeah. Like, no. Just what I say. Just listen to this.
So to me, those sorts of things, and we touched on it. When he says things like, yes, I think video review of offsides
and goalie interference
are working perfectly.
Exactly as we designed them to.
13% less offside calls. What?
I wonder if part of that is just linesmen standing back going, I missed it. They'll get it on the replay if it matters.
I'm not calling it. Yeah, forget it. And you know what? I've heard a bunch of things. I think you just dial it back 6 inches. Whatever the blue line is, as soon as the puck touches the neutral zone side of the blue line, forget it. That's it.
And
it's onside.
And once it's gone in and the other team has gained possession and then turned it back over, wiped out. Okay. You can't go back and challenge something if you've had possession and failed to clear.
Yeah, okay. Sure. That was never, and we've seen it a bunch of times.
Oh, it's just shit.
Recently that... You know, that whole Matt, I know that whole Matt Duchene thing where he was four feet offside.
Okay, at least.
Yeah. That's what we want to stop. Yeah. We don't need to see
hairline.
Who was it? Forsberg. Who was the
I can't remember whose skate was
off the ice. Yeah. Still over the blue, but off the ice. And you're like, That's not what it's meant to do.
No.
In any way.
And how about you get yourself onto NBC and off NBC Sportsnet or whatever you've been on through. So you're onto the main network trying to pick up all these fans.
The big peacock.
And the first thing that you hit them with, like 5, 6, 7 minutes into the game, is, hey, look, a goal from this underdog Nashville team. And then you sit around and you sit around, and now it's not a goal. And non-hardcore hockey fans are looking at that going, well, what are we even looking at? What is the problem here? You can't even tell. Like, it's...
He looks onside to me.
He looked onside to everybody.
No, I know.
Yeah, so it makes you crazy to think that this is now what we're breaking down and this is now what we're looking at. That.
Well, and him saying...
And I'm not arguing against the fact that if this is the rule, then yeah. I'm not saying they should have just let it go, right? But the rule sucks then, right? See, that's all.
Like, see, and goaltender interference... In the conference final, right, the whole Trevor Daley goal that got called back against Ottawa, right, where he pushes Anderson in.
Well, and there was a few of them in that Western Conference.
No, series, I know. So, yeah. I'm just saying. So there's that one, and so everybody looks at that and says, "Yeah, you can't push the goalie in and then scoop the puck in yourself. That's clear goalie interference."
Yeah.
And then you have somebody like Pierre McGuire from NBC saying, the Daley goal should have counted. And, okay, all I'm suggesting is what's happened here is due to all the calls that went wrong in the Edmonton-Anaheim series where there was three consecutive games where the goalie's glove is getting whacked as the puck is trying to come
or
to
Perry's
it.
Or Perry's kicking his leg back out or Kessler's pulling his pad.
All those things, and you're like, that's goalie interference.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. How is that not? And so all I'm saying is, whether it's NBC's Pierre McGuire or it's you and I sitting here watching it, you're going, people are left in a spot where we don't know what goaltender interference is.
You're looking at people who have watched this game week after week after week, year after year after year, who don't know what an interference call looks like anymore.
Right. And
that's fucked.
The league has allowed that to happen.
So you sit up there in front of everybody in front of game one of the biggest series of the year, and obviously you would have had no idea that it was going to be prominently on display in game one, but it looks good on the league for that. And just sits there and goes, this is exactly how we wanted it to work. This is what you wanted. You wanted the game to be delayed constantly. You wanted fans not to know what was going on or understand what the call is going to be. This is honestly what you looked like. When you drew up this offside one especially, you envisioned, and someone much smarter than me, I've seen a few people say it, put the linesman on the offside ones on a clock. 90 seconds, you get to look at it, or whatever it's going to be. If it's that close, then the call on the ice stands. Clock runs out, off you go. If it's blatantly offside, you're going to see it easily in 60 seconds, in 90 seconds, in whatever you give them.
Yep.
But no more of this shit where it just stands around forever, and then no more condescendingly saying to all your fans, no, that's how it's supposed to work. Fuck you.
Right. It's the same guy, and we touched on this off air, right, with Cap Geek, right? And that sort of thing... And then that was no longer available.
Yeah.
And then a reporter saying to him, hey, well, why doesn't the league just do this? Why doesn't the league provide...
Yeah, make the salary cap info available.
Why doesn't the league provide this for its fans? And right. Gary turns and says, yeah, because fans don't care about that.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me?
Fans don't want to know how much cap space they have before free agency.
Yeah, the soccer mom or whoever it is that turns on the game in the playoffs or every whatever and go, oh, the hockey game's on.
Yeah.
The 20% of the population who lives and breathes by their team in their city and who are the ones who are buying season tickets and jerseys and all the other stuff and talking about it.
Yeah.
They want to know. That's your bread and butter right there.
Check the numbers on these websites. Like Cap Friendly is the big one now that's popped up after Cap Geek, and there's a few other ones out there. And the numbers of people who visit these websites and then the number of teams who keep hiring the people who run these websites, like to stand there and say that people don't care about this information is just ridiculous. And
so you don't want them to care is really what it is.
That's right.
You don't think it's important.
No.
And to me, when you say, yeah, we're going to create this whole sphere of, you know, confusion, we don't want you to know.
No, it's just whatever we shove down your throat tonight. And
that's religion, baby, right there.
And I just...
That's organized
honestly,
religion.
I love the sport of hockey. I hate the NHL. I really do. Like,
Could you hate it? You hate me, Gary Bettman. You don't care about me, Canadian hockey fan.
It's just crap. It's real. It's just crap. And the way they handle fans, the way they, you know, it. Unreal, man. Unreal.
Unreal.
Speaking of rowdy fans, game one of the Stanley Cup final, we saw a Mr. Jacob
Waddell.
Waddell.
Somewhere Don Waddell is trying to hide out.
Trying to find out how, hey, there's another non-traditional hockey market that grew some fans. That's impressive. He shows up in Pittsburgh.
Atlanta Thrashers.
He throws up. Throws up. Maybe. He shows up in Pittsburgh with a. Did you see how he did this?
Yes.
He shows up with a catfish that he's flattened by running over repeatedly with his truck.
Hey now, is that a catfish in your pants or are you just happy to see me?
So he runs over this thing a bunch of times. The fucking, speaking of PETA, right? Like, man, so he flattens it and then I guess he like shrink wrapped it somehow, had it well, in so some kind of like.
He cut half the spine out because if, have you ever seen a catfish?
Yeah, they're gross looking, man.
Man. Yeah. And some of them are huge.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I would have just taken it like that, but the head was too huge. And so he's like, yeah. So he did shrink wrap it.
Yeah.
And then ran over it with his pickup truck.
Yes.
And to me, this is like, is this an episode of Jeff Foxworthy? You may be a redneck if you run over a catfish.
You may be a Preds fan.
Yeah. If you run over a catfish with your pickup truck, you may be a Preds fan.
So he shrink wraps it, runs it over, and then gets it to Pittsburgh because he's a Preds fan who's gone all the way up for the game. And I guess has it under like compression shorts under his pants.
His underwear, and then he has the catfish and then compression shorts over top of it.
Buddy wants it bad, right?
Buddy wants it bad.
So he gets it in there and he tosses it on the ice and, you know, the cops come and get him, pull him out in security, and they charge him. With three different crimes. Now,
honestly, like homegrown terrorism or something like that.
So my
it's over the top.
So I can't remember. The first one was just like mischief or something like that. But the second.
Disrupting a public meeting was one of them?
Disrupting a meeting is my favorite one. That's the third one. Also, the second one, possessing the instruments of crime.
Yes. Well, what? A fish?
Honestly, man, possessing the instruments of crime.
Well, I don't know how anybody in Western Pennsylvania can hold their head up and go, yeah, well, that's shameful.
So I should admit that as we record this, they have dropped the charges. The head of whatever agency down there that was heading this up, whatever police department has said, this isn't in the spirit of whatever. And so they have, but to the charges were
ridiculous. I hadn't seen that.
We're so ridiculous, right? To think that, and as you said, you heard the radio interview. I didn't. I've just seen a quote, but he apparently said, I'm just a
redneck with a dumb idea. Honestly, and his man, he's Southern.
Sounded every bit the part.
He certainly did.
So,
but you know what? If he's going to go to that length to do this,
yeah,
man, that's what
fandom.
That is that's fanning right there.
So did you notice, because I didn't, and there was a Red Wing fan who jumped online and said, Buddy's got no idea what the fuck he's doing. There's an etiquette to this.
Well,
he goes, he threw it down when his team was about to have a face-off after Pittsburgh iced it. He said, you just cost your team a tired Pittsburgh. You don't throw it out then.
Okay, but it's a young fan base in Nashville.
And in,
easy now, Wings fan.
Yeah, and in Detroit is going, more. No, you do it when your team maybe has been charged with icing or whatever.
I can't remember.
Throw an octopus.
I can't remember seeing an octopus on the ice outside of Joe Louis. You don't see that very often.
That's true.
Right. Wings fans don't take that on the road. That is a.
Right. But he's saying there's an. You got to know when, right? There's a certain time, there's
a
place.
You know what? Roll into PPG Arena and throw a dead penguin on the ice. Now you're talking, man. And let me see your compression shorts then.
This beak is poking me.
No, you get that tucked up under your leg, right in the sphincter, right there. Beak tucked around behind. Look at the house on that guy right there.
Just lobbing dead penguins on the ice.
The place goes silent.
Who the fuck is
it? Oh my gosh. What's going on here?
Oh, man, and it starts to get away from you after that. Like, what are the Blackhawks throwing onto the ice? And what are the – man, you start looking at Sharks fans.
All right, yeah.
Good, Canucks fans.
Yeah. What are you tossing?
I'm going to throw an orca. No, oh, I can't get
just
it on.
Just kills the people directly under the second deck where you were sitting. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
So in the same week that we see this type of mischief being in the news.
Mischief.
Yeah.
Mischievous douche.
Ken Pagan, the guy who threw the beer can at Shin-Soo Kim, of the Baltimore Orioles during the wild card game in Toronto in 2016. Most people remember all the beer being thrown in 2015.
That's what Toronto does.
We just like to throw our beer.
That's a $13 can of beer. I'm going to pitch it.
Now you know how mad I am.
Yes.
So Ken Pagan is the guy who does it. He's apparently at the time he works for the National Post. Pictures get posted all over the place, and he turns himself in when he finds
out. I thought it was the Sun. Or is that all part of the same chain?
I don't know. I thought it was the Post.
And I was pretty sure it was the Sun. Okay. Because the Sun was the one that posted the $1,000 reward.
Whoops.
If anybody knew this guy, and it turns out he works for them.
Well, whoever
no longer.
Yeah, has let him go.
Well, that was the beauty, though. It was Toronto Sun.
So he appeared in court this week, pled guilty, and
sentencing later next month.
It's one of those stories that kind of gets away from you, right? That everyone just moves on. And everyone who wanted to be outraged was outraged for 20 minutes. Everyone who thought the guy was cool for 20 minutes. And then you just move on. You don't fucking
Who thought he was cool? Nobody thought he was cool. Some dick face throws a can of beer at somebody trying to catch a ball.
Who was a bigger dick face? Him for throwing it at a player trying to catch the ball, or all the people who were raining down beer cans during that 2015 seventh inning versus Texas?
Him.
Yeah, because that was, and don't get me wrong, because it was all stupid, but they're throwing it out of frustration and in a general riot, general
as
outrage.
As fans have for as long
mob
as they've been
mentality.
Gathering. Yes, gathering together. Shit's gone against my team.
And I'm angry.
I'm going to heap down not just scorn, but debris.
This was interfered in the game, thrown directly at a player.
Trying to make a play.
Yeah.
Right, you have now interjected into the play of...
And potentially you've tried to...
Hit somebody with a can of beer.
This guy, right? So, it was... But it's just funny to me, and
you had people breaking it down, trying to zoom it in.
Oh, this was one of those things where the Twitterverse claims they solved this. They zoomed in, they found it, they got the guy, and they posted the picture everywhere. And
but there were so many people thought it was a woman.
Yep. No, I know. It was stupid.
Right, and there was a bunch of things. Who is that bitch? Right there.
The mob mentality worked in this.
Wearing the tube top. Who wears a tube top in 2016?
God love you.
No. Because there clearly needs to be three of them.
You need more tubes.
There's a couple tubes uncovered there.
Oh, dear. This was more of a general God love you for wearing, not a her specifically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I don't.
Speaking of the
if you
want
to wear the tube top as a skirt, come back and talk to me then.
That was a great clip. I can't remember what show I was watching the other day. It said, I've got a slip and slide, and I've invited some girls in tube tops over to use it. Do you know what a slip and slide does to a tube top? It turns it into a belt.
I know what you were watching.
Yeah, well, there's no tube tops there.
Okay.
There is tube in the title.
Yes, exactly.
No, it's just one of those things where it's one of those stories that I don't have a whole lot, but just it goes away, right? 6 months later, remember that guy?
And that's what I'm saying is it was a huge story. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And then this comes out in the back pages.
Well, and there's a little bit of this holier than thou because Toronto was being attacked rightfully for always throwing shit and whatever.
Are you going to continue to pitch beers?
And then all of a sudden you go, now we're all going to help catch this one guy who's going to take the fall for us kind of thing, right? And it just got stupid and guy lost his job over it. And I don't know whether or not he should have or not. He certainly was going to be bad press.
All kinds of Toronto guys losing their jobs. That hydro guy at the TFC game.
Yeah, that was a whole other thing. And
yelling at the camera.
You know, what you do on your own time, I guess, is fine until you get caught on camera doing it. And, oh, boy.
Oh, by the way, I work for Ontario Hydro.
Dope.
Fucker in the pussy.
I think that's it for this one.
Yeah. Well, exclamation point right there. Bam.
Whammo.
Right.
Nope. Let's go. Okay. That's Talk and Sports.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.